Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, what's up? Dean Blandino, another episode of Good Calls. I am joined by the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, the Caucasian rattlesnake, Travis Hanson. Travis, what's up?
What's up, Dean? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Joe Madrid, we're all back together. Everybody's back together. One room. I am really excited. We got a lot to catch up on. And I just want to say, Joe, I feel like Travis is really blossoming. We're in the studio for XFL games on weekends now, and Travis is there. Joe is not. And I feel like Travis is really letting loose. You know, you take up a lot of real estate conversation-wise, and you know, during the NFL season, a lot of
Dean's words, not mine.
Tesla talk and this and that and the birds and the bees and all that. And Travis now, it's like he comes in, the hat's on backwards. He's just like letting loose.
When you guys texted me earlier this week with as that joke, like, hey, we found a spot for you. Part of me kind of got excited, like, all right. Mm-hmm. Part of me was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying my weekends off. And then I got the silly picture and realized it was a joke. But I've kind of been missing you guys, but it's glad to see Travis is stepping into his own.
We've missed you, that's for sure. But, you know, Dean puts a lot of pressure on me to come in with new topics and things to talk about to keep him clicking, you know. You just got to keep him always going. He needs his brain to move at all times.
That's right.
And so I come in with different things, and I shed a little light on the inner Caucasian rattler.
He definitely did. So he came up with a hand gesture. Well, it's the Tampa Bay Vipers, the XFL Tampa Bay franchise. One of the is like the cornerback made a big play and then did the Viper hand signal, which is kind of like, obviously you can't see, but it's like your one arm up with the hand down like a Viper ready to strike. And we both looked at each other and was like, that's
the Caucasian rattler.
That's the Caucasian rattler right there. He's like ready. Like you don't poke him. Like he's ready to strike, you know.
Very docile animal, but if you get too close,
if you mess with his, you know,
just don't mess with my chi and or I'll strike.
Okay. All right. On that note, let's
speaking of messing with someone's inner chi.
Speaking of messing with somebody, we had the conversation of the weekend and this has gone viral. Is the dude on it's an American Airlines flight in the last row. Just what the lady, so apparently, and Travis has done some research on this. We watched the video. We watched the extended version of the video. He's in the last row. She reclines. Travis asked her what, talk us through.
So apparently the first time it happened, he was eating his dinner or lunch or whatever it was. I don't know what time the flight was. And he asked if she could move up, and she did. She obliged. She moved up, and he finished his meal. And then she just said, I'm going to lean back again, which he finished his meal, and that's all he asked for. So she leaned back again. And then he started, and I don't know what came first, the hard strike, or if it was like
there
the,
was a
the
tapping. There was an open hand tapping going on. Like he was listening to music and he was tapping. Then there was a pretty good shot, like a one-off shot. And then I think the one that everybody was looking at was just it was like the speed bag, the little bop, 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 bop. Like that's what I used to do. Me and my brother would do like to annoy each other. Like, I got you less, I got you less, I got you less. And
the 1-inch punch is the one we always did.
But this had created a debate in the social media world and in the world of to recline or not to recline, even to where the CEO of Delta, who's like loving this, he's like,
it's not us.
He's like loving this, but I'm gonna chime in. And he's like, you know, you should ask permission or to recline.
Let's stop there. Has anyone ever asked the person behind them when they reclined? I never have either.
No.
Even thought of that.
I don't. So here's my thing.
What I do is I put that lean back song on my iPad right before, just so they know what's about to happen.
Good.
So I can appreciate, I get it. Like, because if you're in coach and you're eating and somebody leans back, that makes it really tough. It makes it like the tray comes into you. So I can appreciate that. I don't recline when I'm in coach. Like I just don't. Like I don't like when people recline to me. I don't recline back when I'm in coach. So I just don't. So what I do though, when somebody does like recline, I'll do the accidental, you know, I'll make it kind of uncomfortable for them, but accidentally once or twice, not like I'll like get up and give it like a little bit of a push.
Love tap.
You know, love tap. Or I'll
a forearm shiver.
Yeah. Or I'll reach for like something in the seat in the pocket and I'll just, you know, give it a little shake. Just nothing.
A little jostle.
But that's it. Just it makes me feel better, but it's not like a thing. But I don't know, like Travis, where do you stand on the recline thing?
Recline at will. If you have a seat that reclines, that's what it's there for. Recline all you want. Like you don't need to ask anyone's permission.
So you're just a recliner.
Not every time. It depends. Like if it's a morning flight and I'm tired, or a nighttime flight, if I'm on a red eye, I'm gonna recline. I'm a taller guy, 6'1". Dean, you and I are 6'1", so we need the extra room.
Yes.
Joe's a little shorter than us, so he's not gonna need as much room. Nice.
I'm 6'1" also. So, yeah.
But I mean, I recline if I want to.
I mean, I think there's no rule. Like, the rule is if your seat reclines, you can recline.
I agree.
I just feel like there should be some, I don't know. It just doesn't. Sometimes I feel like people, there's reckless reclining going on.
Reckless reclining.
No, I do. Like, I feel like it's not. Like you're just you're not tired. You're working. You're doing, and you're just reclining. And I don't know.
I pretty much full time recline.
You're the guy who has to get told, wake up, recline, put your seat.
Oh,
back
dude,
up.
I hate when they. I think that those rules are just the silliest rules.
Well,
the plane's not going to go down if I don't sit up.
I think a lot of those rules they keep. It's like the phone, the cell phones, and stuff. They said that people. The amount of cell phone use that would have to take place for it to impact the flight, the actual navigation, whatever, of the operation of the plane, would never, ever come near it, you know, with passengers on a flight. But I don't know.
I've been on record saying I never want to get into a fight in my life. But if that dude was jabbing my chair, I would have killed
him. He was acting like a, I mean, it obviously he's in the wrong now.
Totally.
This has gone even now. She has like, Travis was telling me
I heard he's suing.
No,
who's he suing?
American.
No, she's
for
suing.
For like defamation of character or something.
Well, there could be that.
The video went viral.
So when I first saw it, I was like, why is this person taking their beef to the social media realm? Like, why can't you just handle this on your own? Why didn't you do that? And apparently this happened in January. January 31st was when the flight took place. It was a short flight, like a 2-hour flight from like New Orleans to Charlotte or vice versa. And she didn't release a video right away, released last week. And when she first reached out to American Airlines, she just DM'd them saying, hey, I've been having these neck problems. I had neck surgery. I had multiple neck or vertebrae fused, and I've been having neck injury or neck pain and headaches since then. So they didn't reply. They just blew her off, and then she took to social media for her case, and now she's suing, and she said, your people can get a hold of mine. So
I heard he was suing.
Well, I didn't see that.
What is he suing for?
Defamation of character.
To who? But American Airlines didn't take the video.
I don't know. It's on their plane. You can't. You're a dick.
Yeah, he's in the wrong. That guy's a moron.
I
want to know what he was watching on his phone.
You have to figure out, like, doesn't everyone know you're being recorded at every moment of every day?
Pretty much. It kind of made me think about, though, what are some of the airplane rules that people should abide by? Like, to me, one of the things that drives me crazy is this whole seat switching thing. Okay? Now if you... I get it. Like some people, for whatever reason, you book flights and you know, your husband and your wife, you can't sit together. Okay. To me, short flight, spend some time apart. Like I'm fine. Like you don't need to sit, right? Like it's not, no, I get it. Like kids and
honeymoon,
stuff.
If you're going on your honeymoon, that's okay. No, no,
that's fine. Okay. If you're honeymooner is fine, but kids, you need to sit with the kids. I get it. So I understand there's situations where you have to switch. What bothers me, and this has happened to me, where the person just takes the liberty of sitting in your seat and then asking, oh, would it be okay? I'm like, well, you've already set up camp. Like you place the flag down and you're saying like, what am I? So now you're putting it on me to be a complete dick to say, oh, actually, no. So to me, you don't sit in the other person's seat. You wait for them to come to their aisle and then you ask them.
There's another way of doing it, too.
Can we agree on that?
I agree with you 100%.
I don't see that very often, and I don't understand how that's even possible. You pick your seat. I just booked two flights. You pick your seat.
I get it. It happens sometimes. People, flights.
Late booking.
Tough shit, man.
People flying standby.
No, but I get the need to switch at times. But here's the deal.
Well, what if it's a middle seat for...
There you go.
No.
There has seat equality. There has to be... Look, you talk about draft capital. There has seat capital. Now, if you cannot say, oh, I'm in a middle seat and I want to trade you and you can... can I have that aisle seat and I'm going to give you my middle seat? That doesn't work. You got to sweeten the pot. You got to throw in either, you know, I'll give you my aisle seat on my next flight, or you got to throw in,
buy some drinks,
$100
in
something,
hand.
A drink. You can't, no way. Now, if I'm going aisle to a middle, that should be a no brainer. If I'm saying, look, my wife is on the window, I'm on the aisle, I'd like to switch with you. You're in the middle.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's
all
an
in.
Easy switch.
All in. That's an easy switch because you're giving up more capital than what you're. But that bothers me more.
Does
than
size
anything.
Play into this role? You guys are obviously tall. Does size
Thank
play
you.
A role in, you know, middle? I don't like. I'll never sit in the middle seat because I'm too big.
I don't like middle seats.
I don't
no
like
one,
middle.
No one
either.
Likes a middle seat.
And but just it's when I say big, I mean like I just have very broad shoulders,
some girth. Sorry.
You're a big guy, you know,
broad shoulders,
small
waist,
swimmer shoulders,
V-neck, a V-shape.
Yeah, so
Adonis
I don't like sitting
like
in the middle.
Did you play water polo?
No, I swim. So I think that should come into play, and I also think that when you sign up for this flight and you pick a seat, you should have to list your height and weight so that I know I'm not sitting next to a 300-pound dude.
Oh, wow. That's your ticket to another level. So when I go on the seat map,
yes.
I get like 6'2", 240.
Yes. Like, and no, then, no. You got a 4'11", 92? I'm in.
Well, that there's always that. Like, you're always hoping. Like, sometimes if I'm sitting on a
This
on
will
a
never
window,
happen, by the way.
It happened to me. It happened to me coming from Scottsdale. It was amazing.
They weight checked you?
No, I got next to a 4'11", 92. Oh.
You're waiting, you're seeing people come down the aisle, the middle seat is open, and you're praying sometimes
Please
that they don't,
him.
Or that
like
they
Like on the
do.
Southwest flight?
South, Please I don't understand him. Southwest with the aisle, the numbers. What is Southwest all about? I don't fly Southwest.
You
get
a number,
like a group.
Yeah, how early you check in, and if you have like... a higher status, you get like the better A number, like a lower A number, so you get on first.
The other thing is we need to do a better job of policing the people that need extra time to board. Like that is and it's impossible. It's like officials, it's like faking injuries. Players fake injuries, officials have to honor it. The gate agent can't be like, you're okay. Like, dude, what's wrong with you?
And my question is, why do they make kids
all the time?
Why do they make kids and parents get on first? Like little kids, I would prefer getting on last.
Well,
because then you're not sitting there with your child who's, you know, 45 minutes later is already tired of being on the plane.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just think, to me, I think that we just need to do a better job of there needs to be some kind of, like that dude Glenn we talked about that was not disabled. There needs to be some kind of
like, proof?
Not a proof, but just a bar, like a standard. If I have a limp, I shouldn't get on.
I currently have a limp.
Yeah, see? So you need extra time to board.
I'm in. I'm flying soon.
I'll befriend the people, you know, the dude in the wheelchair, and then I'm on first, right?
Is that I've got works? A boot.
So there you go.
Just if you could borrow it anytime you'd like.
The other thing I was going to say is talking to the flight attendant before, like if you're with, you know, I have a small child, I have two small children, but the first time with my daughter, we flew with her, we talked to the flight attendant, we got on first and said, hey, if there's any way there's someone in this middle seat, can we move them to another seat? and they were super cool with us and did it twice on both to and from.
Yeah.
And they were
like,
yeah,
white.
Well, that's what I'm probably because I'm handsome and really charming.
SWG, yeah.
A smile and wings.
You gave her the Caucasian rattlesnake.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen on a flight?
Oh, I've got one. Flight to Cabo.
Okay.
Stewardess comes walking through. I'm sorry, flight attendant comes walking through. Would you like a drink, sir? This guy goes, how many beers you got on the plane? She's like, I don't know. No one's ever asked you that before. She goes back, comes back. She's like, I have 64 beers. He goes, I'll take them all. There's three bachelor parties on the plane. So he everybody's like, what do you mean you're taking all the beers? And he's like, everybody relax. He stands up. He pulls a beer bong out of his carry-on. And he goes, all the beers are free today on this plane if you take it out of this. And the whole plane went insane.
Is that even like, but I feel like that's against like FAA rules
Dude,
or something.
It was, I experienced
The pilot
it.
Was back there taking beer bongs.
They're passing the beer bong around to people. And
from
it was
where
just,
the flight was from LA to Cabo?
Yeah.
That's good.
So you didn't have to wait to get to Cabo to get a disease.
Yeah, you could
nobody.
Jesus, Travis.
Come on, but where's that?
You gotta let me know. You gotta. What about that? You fly the most. What's the craziest thing you've seen?
You know, I haven't. Like I was thinking about it. I've seen a ton of arguments. I've seen people argue with flight attendants. I've seen people argue with each other. I've never seen like a physical altercation. You know, not a lot. I did fly. I was flying from Denver to New York or New York to Denver. And I get on the plane and the pilot is Sully.
The real Sully?
The real Sully.
No way.
Sully.
How do you know?
Because I recognized him. I got on and he's like welcoming people. And I'm like, And so it was the one time I was on a plane where I wanted some shit to go down. Like I was like, this is the one, like if we're going to have any kind of, issues, we got the guy, let's engine failure. We're good. Like Sully is on the flight. Yeah.
I don't even know what he really looks like. I thought that was Tom Hanks.
I'm going to pull him up now.
Sully, he's got white hair. He's got a mustache.
What's his real name?
Sullenberger.
Really? You probably don't see anything crazy because you're probably not flying coach these days. You're probably the first.
I don't fly coach very often.
That's the thing with the CEO comments. It's like, oh, when was the last time this guy rode in coach? He's riding private planes in first class.
The Delta guy.
This guy, is this him? This guy here?
There he is.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Sully.
Now I know if he's ever flown.
It's good.
I saw him.
Or did he retire?
Trav, you got a crazy flight story?
I got nothing. I can't remember yesterday, let alone flying.
You probably haven't slept much.
He's low on sleep. He's not his name.
I didn't say it
over the weekend.
All right.
He was talking to Joanna, our makeup person, about like the conversation was just. I was like, really?
She started in on me.
He's talking about like breastfeeding, like the difference between breastfeeding and formula. And then they started talking about health insurance.
I didn't initiate any of this.
Focus on the game. And this is like, what are we doing here? Like then you know he's well you know the formula you digest it or whatever.
This is what she's telling me, and I'm like, okay,
keeps
cool.
The baby
cool.
up, or I it was.
Yeah. I was just going with
back
it,
in
just
there.
Being friendly, listening. But I didn't want any of that.
Let's take a break. When we come back. We're going to do XFL Week 2 recap. We're going to talk a little NBA, maybe a little baseball rules changes, Astros apology
again.
Next on Good Calls. All right, we're back. Let's go into XFL Week 2, Week 1. Really overwhelming success. I think everyone was excited about what they saw. And obviously, you know, this is where it gets into, okay, now are people going to come back? Or can the XFL sustain this success? It was an interesting weekend. The first games, the two games on Saturday, you know, D.C., blew out New York. New York,
DC's good.
They're really good. New York didn't play well offensively, and I think again when you talk about a new league like this, offense that's going to be something that is going to draw fans and going to keep people watching. So you want that that kind of, you know, the offensive team, the offensive scores back and forth, all of that. So we really didn't see that on Saturday. And then Sunday, there were two really good games. Games went, you know, one score games. The St. Louis Houston game, 28-24. I think both of those teams were probably those two. DC, I think those are probably the teams right now that are playing the best. And we'll see how it goes. It was interesting. You look at the number of fouls the first week, they were down 12 and a half fouls a game. There were more fouls in week two. And a lot of these fouls are line of scrimmage fouls. And I think these are things, especially, you know, you see this in the NFL first couple of weeks of the season, fouls are up. And the NFL has preseason games, but a lot of the starters don't play in the preseason games. So you will see, you know, more mistakes and more of those procedural penalties, formations, not getting lined up correctly, false starts early on in the NFL season. And I think that's what we saw in week two of the XFL. False starts were up, delay of games, too many men on the field, defense, those types of things. So I think those things will get cleaned up. And again, I think what we saw, and I think in the two games on Sunday are encouraging. Some offensive, I think you got some quarterbacks that are pretty good. You know, the PJ Walker who plays for the Roughnecks. I mean, he's legit. I mean, he looks like
Cardale Jones is playing well.
You know, Cardale Jones, DC is playing well. Tamu on St. Louis is playing well. I mean, so you've got some quarterbacks. It was Landry Jones's first game for Dallas. You know, he's coming off an injury. He looked a little rusty. But you know, if he gets going, I think New York has to figure out Matt McGloin, who's an NFL veteran, really hasn't played well.
That's surprising to me. I thought he would play much better than he has. Yeah. And Kevin Gilbride is a good offensive mind. Thought he'd be a better job.
I thought that, you know, Josh Johnson with LA showed some flashes. They played better. This week the defense played better. So I think, again, the quarterback play is really going to be a big driver in terms of how successful the league is. One of the things, you know, we talked about, you know, Travis is like all in on this idea, Joe. He will not shut up about it. Go ahead, Travis.
I wanted to kind of, you know, ruffle some feathers maybe, but just make this thing, make the XFL something where it's an opportunity for guys coming out of high school to play football professionally. Like, why are they forced to go play in college if they want to go, you know, professional? We don't get upset when guys skip college to start, you know, their startup, their app or whatever. Guys don't need to go to college anymore. It's a different world.
They go to the minor leagues and
go to the minor leagues. Like, if you want to get paid, like, here's your way the XFL can be differentiated itself from the NFL and say, Let's get these guys straight out of high school. If a guy goes to college for 1 year, says, you know, Trevor Lawrence, like, I want to go play. I want to get paid. You're going to play less games in the XFL. Like, these high caliber teams in college football are playing 15 games if they're going to the national championship. XFL, you're playing 12 games with a playoff in the championship game. So you're playing less games. You're getting good film. You're playing against high level talent, the guys who've all played on NFL rosters. Like, to me, it seems like a good thing. Like, why can't Vince McMahon say, I don't need to do any favors to the NCAA. Like, let's get these kids out here.
You know, if only we knew somebody who knew Vince, I could actually bring this up to him.
Gosh, yeah. When you're talking to him, just let him know who came to you with this idea.
I'm going to tell him, hey, my buddy Travis,
get him my number.
Really interested in us going after some high end college talent that is not draft eligible in the NFL.
Why not?
Sounds amazing.
Well, I think a couple of the issues, and I know this.
I could see the Caucasian Rattler being a thing in the WWE.
Oh God!
Can you pitch him that idea too? If you talk
to
him,
imagine that. Like, and he would be all like, Travis like rollerblade to the ring, it would be in his REO Speedwagon like tour shirt and cut off, you know, his jorts and stuff.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff. I've never worn any of those things.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of what white guys would wear.
But so what do you think of that idea? You don't like it or?
I don't. And look, I get it. I think it would make sense for certain. I think there is that you worry about the, you know, A, you know, that's not going to go over well with the NCAA and these universities. So you're really, the XFL, I don't think would be welcome on those universities in terms of scouting those players and doing things like that. I think it makes sense for some players. I think it makes sense. I don't think a Trevor Lawrence is, I'm just thinking of me. Okay. I'm 18 and am I going to give up 3 years at Clemson in college? I'm getting an education. I'm playing at a high level. I'm getting good coaching. I'm going to go to the NFL if I don't get hurt. I'm going to be a top pick. Is it worth like going to the XFL and making what? I don't know. I don't know what the XFL would pay somebody like that, or even if they would want to. And to what? To give up that experience? I don't know.
I loved college. I did 5 years. You know, like I did the Van Wilder fifth year senior year. So I loved it. But I mean, if you want to make money, if the XFL is willing to do it, like I think there's a lot of guys who would say, I want to get paid.
But all right. Well,
I don't know.
We'll bring it up.
All your high school players out there listening. Travis has got you. He's trying to get you paid.
Yeah, I can be your agent too.
Travis is that's going to be his niche. He's going to be the player agent for the guys that don't want to do 3 years out of high school.
It's like one guy I mentioned to you, Dean, that could have probably went high school to the NFL was Adrian Peterson. And did it do him any good to go to Oklahoma? I don't know, just more wear and tear on the tires. But I mean, the guy's still playing, so
yeah.
Like he probably could have went from high school into the NFL.
Oh, there's guys that could do it without question. There's guys, I mean, that are just grown men coming out of high school and they can go in. But I also think, and one of the arguments against it I've just heard, you know, is that the kid coming out of high school, there's one, Adrian Peterson is a one-off. Your body is not developed. When you talk about going in, like the NBA is one thing, but when you start talking about playing in the NFL and the physicality and all of that, when you're talking about grown ass men that are, and the 17, 18 year old kid is not developed to where they need to be. And so you do worry about just the injury factor and things like that. So it's an interesting debate. The other thing we saw from the XFL, which Travis loved, was the Bud Light Seltzer sponsor. It was the post-game interviews, and they have a Bud Light Seltzer on the podium, on the dais.
And we were watching the press conference at Nelson Spruce after the L.A. game, and dude's drinking one and has another in front, so the sponsorship's always being shown. But he's sitting there having a ice cold seltzer, much like we are right now.
Yes.
This has become a tradition for the show here. We come over and crack a Truly or a White Claw or a Natural Light seltzer.
I don't, but today I decided to, and now this thing's giving me a headache.
I know, it's terrible.
It's really, I'm
this
sorry.
One doesn't taste good.
This is the Natural Light. We're not as, well, we need to
I'm,
try the Bud
I'm
Light
on
seltzer.
Team Truly. I've tried it. They're like handing it out when
I
we
like
were
Truly's
in New Orleans.
Too. I think Truly's
they were handing them out
the
in New Orleans
one.
For free, and they're good.
Yeah.
Those Bud Light seltzers aren't bad. And free is always a good number.
All right. So XFL, we'll see what happens week 3. The dunk contest, NBA, had everybody talking. Aaron Gordon, people saying he got robbed. I'm like, honestly, I haven't watched a full dunk contest in I don't know how many years. I think the dunk contest, I'm old school. I remember when Jordan and Dominique and these
Spud
guys,
Webb.
Spud Webb and these guys were dunking.
What was the dude's name from the Knicks?
Kenny Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know, like Kenny.
Dean remembers Dr. J as well, too. He's a little bit older.
I mean, I remember Dr. J.
All right. So Travis is young and tall. Got it. Thanks a lot.
So I remember Dr. J.
I have the most gray on everybody, though.
So, I mean, I remember those dunk contests. And look, and the athleticism that these guys are exhibiting is unbelievable, but it's just not the same. It's not. And then, you know, the controversy now was basically Derek Jones wins the dunk contest. Aaron Gordon's last dunk, he jumped over Taco Fall. Now I think Taco Fall, even if he leaves the NBA, he should just be at the dunk contest every year as a potential prop. But Aaron Gordon uses Taco Fall to jump over.
It was 7'5".
It's a ridiculous dunk, but it's not. He didn't jump. I'm sorry. He didn't jump over him. He grabbed the ball, pushed off, and then dunk. Still ridiculous.
I saw right. that. That's probably the one dunk I did see, and he did not. He.
It's not like he grabbed the ball and cleared yeah. Taco Fall. But look, I couldn't do that in my wildest dreams. But it's not a 50. Like people, the 50s are thrown out way too easily.
Why is every dunk a 50?
Every dunk is a 50 now.
It's not,
and,
though.
And every dunk, we talked about this before. Every dunk, everybody goes crazy all about. Oh my God. Like at the comedy shows, everyone laughs too hard.
Everyone goes crazy. Every dunk is not a 50. But I love how now the conspiracy theory is that Dwayne, that the judges had predetermined that they were going to score it the same and go into a dunk off, and Dwayne Wade was like, screw that, and went rogue. But how do you go rogue on a fixed like you're fixing the contest? Like what?
Well, the story I read was that he wanted his former teammate to win.
I just think to me, the dunk contest, like, it's dumb. It's not
what it used to be.
No, but then
back
in our day. But I did, and now Travis, I feel like, is somewhat obsessed. I let Travis in on this kid that I saw. I saw a video. If you haven't seen this video, it's funny. Go just Google YouTube Gary Payton white kid dunk, and it's great. And so Gary, I don't know if it was like a basketball camp, and Gary Payton, former NBA player, Glenn Robinson is there, and they pull this kid out of the crowd, and
it's kind of a joke on Gary Payton.
It's kind of a joke on Gary Payton. Like this kid comes out of the crowd, and he's going to dunk. And he's like just a normal-looking white kid. He's about 6'1". And he starts doing the most ridiculous dunks you've ever seen, and Gary Payton's face is amazing. Like, amazing. So this kid's name is like Jordan Kilgore. He's from Canada, and he's like a professional dunker.
That's what his Wikipedia says. Yeah,
professional dunker. Now I would watch that. If he were in the NBA dunk contest with the NBA players, I would watch it. And I think he could win.
He's 6'1", and the guy can fly.
Like, oh, he's the same size as you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Same size as
yeah.
us.
Yeah, his dunks are a lot like ours. On an 8-foot hoop.
I keep reading everybody wanting LeBron to come do the dunk contest. Like, that's a big thing. LeBron needs to come do the dunk contest. I didn't think he was that great of a dunker.
It would be... That's just like the Jordan, Dominique, Dr. J. The best players doing it, I think, would make it more exciting. I still think, like, Aaron Gordon... And these guys, Derek
I've never
Jones,
even heard of these guys.
They're better dunkers, like more. They're more amazing dunkers than LeBron. But people would watch LeBron.
You know what? I'd like to implement a rule: you have to be an all-star to join the dunk contest. Boom!
I think the all-star. You know what? I think that's a great rule.
I think it's a good rule too.
I think the
bring all, in guys
it's
everybody
all-star
knows.
All-star weekend.
Yeah,
and so all of the skills competitions are based on you were an all-star. Nobody else. Everybody else has to go in the stands.
You shouldn't even be allowed to come.
I think they're just having a hard time.
You didn't make it. You go to Florida or something,
right?
Well, it's like I said. I think they got to do something. Now, what they did do, I liked what they did with the All Star game. Did you watch the fourth quarter of the All Star game?
It was a race to 24, right?
Yeah. Well, 157 was the number, and it was actually exciting. They had the officiating. There was a big time
charge call, right?
Harden hits the game-winning three, and they called him for an offensive foul, and it was a good call. They had a review on a Giannis block on LeBron. They scored it a goaltend. They scored it a basket, and it was unbelievably close. It was one of the closest plays I've seen where it was almost like the ball hit the backboard and Giannis hit it at the same time. Then they had they challenged the game winning Anthony Davis. They're one away from winning. I think it was Kyle Lowry. Lowry fouls Anthony Davis on an inbounds pass down under the basket. They challenged that. Challenge upheld. Anthony Davis hits one or two. They win the game. But it was pretty exciting. Like it was. And but what was giving me hives was watching Spike Lee on the court, like going crazy in a game that people actually cared about, because all it did was bring me back to Spike Lee against the Pacers at Madison Square Garden when Reggie Miller, when I'm sitting there going, if this mother doesn't sit the down, I am going to, if he, does he not realize what he's doing? Reggie Miller scored 25 points in the fourth quarter and all Spike Lee is egging him on.
Egging him on.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
He should make a movie about that.
Well, they did a 30 for 30, Reggie against the Knicks. We scored 9 points in the last, like, whatever,
3 seconds.
And he fouled Greg Anthony. He should have never happened. And then Charles Smith got fouled against the Bulls. And
God, I can't deal with your memory.
Oh, so bad. Because then and they should have beat the Bulls when they – and they had the best team. It was 92-93. They went up 2-0 against the Bulls. John Starks loses his mind. He tries to headbutt Jordan, and they lose 4 straight. That team should have beat the Bulls. That team should have beat the Bulls. That team was – and those teams were not as talented.
Okay.
Patrick Ewing didn't have – Patrick, it was Ewing. Oakley, Mason, that team had Doc Rivers, Starks, Greg Anthony. I mean,
what they didn't have? Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen.
I finally
John Paxton, Bill Cartwright.
He made everybody better. I get it, but right. Still, it still pains me to think about it. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk baseball rules changes, and then we're going to get into a little bit of we're going to break down the Rocky movie. Tournament bracket next on Good Calls. All right, we're back. Good Calls. Last segment. We're going to bring it this segment. I don't care. Joe says he's tired. Travis, he's got a new baby. We're bringing it. Baseball rules changes. What do you like? What don't you like?
I like this rule. So you now have to face 3 batters. A minimum with the incoming pitchers. Uh-huh. When you bring in a reliever, they have to face 3 guys.
Either finish the half inning.
Yep.
Or you have to face a minimum 3 batters. I love it.
I think it's great.
Because what happens, especially in the postseason, oh my God, it's like lefty, bring in the lefty. Now we got a righty, bring in the righty. Lefty, bring in the lefty. Like you see 3-4 batters in a row, and these guys, these relief pitchers, they're pitching to like 2 guys a week, and they're specialists. Although, you know, Dave Roberts doesn't do that against the Nationals when he left Kershaw and against Soto. But anyway, love that rules change. You know, I think baseball has bigger problems though. When you talk about the Astros and their apology, a lot of people are fired up.
I saw something on Instagram today about the number of hit batsmen for the Astros.
Oh,
like
that's
over
gonna be
under
fun,
84 and a half or something.
Well, Dusty Baker, I mean, the Astros new manager, Dusty Baker is like trying to, you know, preemptively, you know, combat that, saying, I hope baseball, you know, takes a look at this and doesn't. But I guarantee, this is going to be all year on the road. It's going to be tough.
Well, I think you said it when it first came out. You're like, Bregman's going to get hit over and over and over. Because there's something about that guy. You just want to punch him in the face, right?
No, that wasn't me. I hate baseball.
Travis is just fired up about it.
Maybe that was somebody else I was talking to.
I'm not a big baseball fan.
But, I just don't think they cheated and they really haven't. The apology was not, I think it fell short. And even the commissioner, Rob Manfred, said that it was not successful. The apology. And I think
kind of like Antonio Brown's apologies.
Antonio Brown. Did you see Antonio Brown's comments, Joe?
No.
About the XFL? Somebody needs to, Antonio Brown needs to stop talking. Like if he really is serious.
Does he not have friends?
They need to like keep him away from, he's probably hilarious. Like if you were friends with him, you'd probably laugh your ass off constantly.
Right.
But he said he doesn't want to mess with the XFL because it's not the top. Okay, yeah, it's not the NFL. We get it. And he's like, he doesn't want to hang out with 60 dudes that are going to be jealous of AB getting all the touchdowns and getting all the girls that they be whining about.
This is a quote.
That's the quote. Like the guys are in the locker room going, man, I know this is my last chance, and I really got to focus and get back to the. I want to get back to the NFL. It's my lifelong dream of playing football for a career.
But
and
that dude's taking all the hoes.
But that guy is taking girls. Like that guy is taking. Why is AB here? He's taking all our girls. Like that. Like really.
Not only is he scoring all the touchdowns,
he's scoring all the touchdowns, and he's taking all the girls. Like, is that really? Is that what they're going to be thinking?
Is that what they're going to be thinking? I think the guy's got a point.
It made me think, what are the rules of the locker room, Dean?
I mean, don't steal all the girls.
Yeah,
apparently.
Dean, don't steal all the girls.
Like, what? No. But don't, it's just, like, really, AB? Like, really? Like, if I want to be friends with him, because I'm going to be like, I'm going to call, like, every day, I'm going to be like, dude. He's like, what? Like, dude, what? It's like, who'd you talk to today? No one? Who'd you talk to today? Did you talk to somebody from The Athletic? Nope. Yeah. Nope.
No, remember Vanessa? I met her at Chipotle.
No.
She told me she's talking to you now.
Who? Oh, God.
AB.
What?
Where did you go?
Joe's upset because in our past, he feels like there was maybe once or twice where he was interested in someone and that they ended up not.
This is not true.
They ended up
complete. I'm cutting all this. I have the power of this.
All right. That's fine. Okay. I saw something on social media and I want to do it with you guys. The Rocky movie bracket. And this, so basically they took all the Rocky movies and they had an NCAA tournament bracket style. And came up with a winner. So what, give me the final, we're not going to do the whole thing, but give me the final matchup and the winner.
One versus four. Four wins.
One versus four. Now, Travis, what is your final, Travis?
I think I only saw part of Rocky One.
He only saw.
I got to do this one. I got to do it.
He only saw.
What is wrong with you?
Like, honestly, what is wrong with you? No,
you don't know.
What is wrong with you?
Do you not like America?
Do you not
like Italians?
Yeah. Which one is it?
What's maybe a little of column A, a little column B.
You part of the rampant discrimination against Italian Americans?
No, I don't know. You have to remember, I was pretty young when that came out. And then
I guarantee you I can put on cable right now and on one of my 500 channels, one of the Rocky movies will be on. Well, it doesn't like that argument. I hate when people say that. Like, oh, that was, you know, I was pretty young when that came out. Oh, because it stopped. It never plays anymore.
Every time, if I turn on the TV and I see it, it's going on.
It's going on.
That's fine. You guys can sit here and brave me about this, but it's, I just haven't watched it. And maybe it's good.
Guess who's not getting an invite to Sly's house?
I know. So if there's going to be a Sly party and we're going to get invited, and I'll watch the movie.
If I get the invite to Sly's again, and then I can bring some friends.
We're not on the list.
And I'll be like, Sly, what if my friend has never seen any of the Rocky movies?
They'll be like, whoa, is this guy? Oh, my God.
Why are you kidding me?
You know what? What are you doing? I'm watching Rocky at home.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Sly wants to come. All right, I'll be right there. I'll pause it. But, you know, I'm going to record it so I can watch it later.
Why are you, like, he just made fun of American icon.
You don't see us making fun of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, exactly.
This is our culture.
I have a poster of him on my wall. So
you,
what?
You do. Okay. So you're rocking.
I'm one versus four.
Four, and who's winning?
Four. I love four. Really? I love four, dude. Like when I go up to the snow, I just grab a log and start running up the hill.
Well, we had Scott kind of threw me for a loop. Scott that works in the studio with us, because Scott had Rocky One and Creed, and he had Creed winning.
No.
He had Creed winning. I liked Creed, but it's not in my. It's not making the championship game. Creed will make the final four, but it's not making the championship game. I'm a 1-3.
I knew you were gonna go.
1-3. I just three has a lot of elements.
How many are there? Let's just start there.
So there's 1 through 5. Then there's Rocky Balboa. Then there's Creed, and then Creed 2. So forget about 5. 5 was not great. And then you know, Rocky Balboa. Okay,
5 was the one with Tommy.
Tommy Morris.
Yeah.
So I should skip 2 if I'm going to watch him. I should skip 2.
Five is a street fight. The final fight is a street
fight. They're fighting
in
the street.
That's dumb.
And there's fires and trash cans.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So he kind of went a little bit, but
seems off script a little
but
bit.
But I still, I think people don't. I liked Rocky II. I mean, I don't think, you know, a lot of people don't think it's obviously as good as Rocky I. But one and three, and I think one wins, but like in overtime.
How do you not throw, like, four is so good. Four's so, it's great. Like, it's like country versus country. It's
four's it's great, awesome. and he basically gets the Soviet Union to like us.
Yeah.
Like he, you know, with his grit and his determination. But I think one and three. I mean, Mr. T, I think, should have been up for some not Oscar nomination, like Oscar consideration in Rocky III. I'm not, that's not an exaggeration. He was legit in that movie. He played that role to a T.
I'm going to do my best to find Rocky and watch it one of these nights when my son's up in the middle of the night.
Speaking of acting.
I just, before we wrap this up, I just want you to know if you ever die in a boxing match, I'm going to avenge your death, Dean. I will go to Russia and run up hills in snow on Christmas.
And
while my robot at home is watching my children.
So if I die in a exhibition match that was not supposed to be that serious,
I'm going to whoop some ass.
But you actually, you're the reason I died because you didn't throw in the towel.
Well, you told me not to. You looked me in the eye and said, don't you dare throw that towel in.
100%. You better not throw in the towel.
And I'd be like, give me the keys to the range first.
That's the other conversation. Okay, so if you're, what are the car brands that you, when you just say the name, somebody says, oh, what kind of car do you drive? And you say this, it has that kind of like, whoa. Like where does it, like, okay, Ferrari, yeah, we get it. Lamborghini, yes. If it's a Lamborghini SUV, go kill yourself. But
Antonio Brown.
Ferrari, Lamborghini, like what are the ones that like, Porsche is up there.
I love Maserati.
I used to love Maserati until they came out with the Ghibli.
I don't know.
It downplayed their brand.
I think it does too. Aston Martin, yes.
Aston Martins 100%. Are amazing.
There's one that starts with a T.
No, see.
Everybody's like, dude, that guy's a badass and he's saving the world at the same time.
The Tesla is not. Tesla was an 80s band.
And by the way, if you would have invested in their stock, you would have done very well.
I missed out on that.
We all missed out on that. But I still think, though, that
all Tesla, I want is Elon to make that freaking underground rail system or whatever he's got working so we can fix the
Tesla's
traffic
issue. No, Tesla's going at first. So
that's fine.
SOL.
Get out of the way because you're on the road.
Your Santa Fe is not going to make it.
I don't care where they are. But just get them off the road.
Rolls-Royce,
that
Bentley.
Means there's less people.
Before we
seems
wrap
like
up,
Tesla's the most common car you see on the road.
It
anyways.
Is by far the most common car.
It's like oh, it there's is, another Tesla. There's another Prius. Here we are in L.A.
It has bypassed the Prius.
Go 30 miles east. You won't see one.
It has bypassed the Prius, the Tesla is. But speaking of acting, Vernon Davis has got some chops, huh? Did you see the video?
No.
You haven't seen the video, Joe?
No, I was in the desert all weekend.
Vernon Davis, is he still acting?
No, he just retired. He retired in the Fox piece in the pregame show.
He just retired. He has his own production company, and they just completed a movie that he's in. And they asked him during the interview to give them a little preview of his acting. And he did. And now it's a meme. What is that?
That's not it. That's TMZ.
No, you're watching TMZ. Forget it. Anyway.
All right. Well, forget it then.
He starts crying on or something, like trying to cry on cue. And it was a really upset emotional orgasm. Like it was just like,
well,
what was it?
Like, the host on SportsCenter is like, hey, can you just give us a line from the movie? And he just starts crying, like
not
this
even
fake crying thing.
It was like,
and the whole time you're waiting for him to deliver the line and he never delivers the line.
Like so bizarre. It was bizarre, but now it's a meme.
Here, I got it for you here.
Oh, it's unavailable.
Mother.
All right. So, but anyway, check it out. Before we go, I would like, Travis did song lyrics a couple weeks ago.
Oh, God.
And there was a song that I was listening to, and I want Travis to read the lyrics to this song because this is, I was thinking it's like top five creepiest songs of all time. So I want you to just Google song lyrics for Bruce Springsteen, I'm on Fire.
Okay? Oh, geez.
And I want you to read.
I know. It's, yeah.
I want you to read the lyrics to, because I was listening to the song and I was like,
little girl, is your
yes,
dad?
No, but you can't sing it.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. They're going to have to cut that, right?
Don't there is right here.
Right. No,
they don't have to. You.
Okay, where, all right. Read it. Yeah, these are creepy.
Read it.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone? Mmm. I got a bad desire. Oh, 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 I'm on fire.
What is, like, I've always liked that song, and then I'm listening to the lyrics, and I'm going, this is not, no, this is awful. This is like the worst, like this is.
You're keeping this guy away from your kids. Right? You're keeping this guy away from your daughters.
Unbelievable.
Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? And can he do to you the things that I can do? Oh no, I can take you higher.
What the?
Oh, oh, oh. I'm on fire.
I wish people could see Travis right now. Yeah,
the visual is actually better than the audio.
I don't know. All right, on that note, you know what?
Do you want to hit a Brando Bandino?
Oh, yeah, you got
one. We should.
You got one?
Or should I keep reading this?
No, it's making me a little uncomfortable.
It is making me very uncomfortable.
Now I have a daughter.
I'm looking deeply into your eyes as I'm reading it.
You're making everybody uncomfortable right now.
All right, let's go Brando Bandino.
Oh, my God, Travis.
Friend always calls for something, but does a good job of small talk before asking. Almost too good.
Oh, okay. So, yes.
So, wow, you just perked up.
So I have this friend that, you know, like you call somebody and you want to ask for something, but you don't want to call. It's not like, you're not like a best friend. You're just like, dude, hey, whatever. I need this. I need that. It's like it's not a best friend, but it's like a friend. But you need to ask for something, but you want to make small talk and then slip it into the conversation. So every time he calls me, he talks about the small talk like he does, and he does such a good job that I get so caught up in it. Like he knows exactly like what the great topic is and what I'm going to be interested in. And we like for 20 minutes, I'm on the phone and I'm like, this is an amazing conversation. And then he's like, oh, and you know, I need 10 grand. And I'm like, yeah, dude, fine. Write the check. Like he's unbelievable at it. Like unbelievable. Like could small talk anybody into anything.
I gotta meet this guy.
Yeah.
I need some tips.
You need some tips. Absolutely.
I need 10 grand.
Cause I just call him, hey, you got any Super Bowl tickets?
Yeah, and I'm like, stop asking.
The Super Bowl.
No,
tickets?
He's like, he asks like all the really like knows what you're into, like what's going on. Like he'd be like, oh, dude, I just watched Rocky. Remember the scene? And da-da-da. I'm like, yeah, it's the best movie ever. And da-da-da.
You're getting higher and higher as you go.
And then he's like, oh, I need those. Yeah. Can you take my dry cleaning to the?
I had the best one earlier this week. One of my friends texted me. He's like, hey, dude, hit up Bandino, see if he can get us some XFL tickets. I go, bro, they're $20. I'm not going to ask.
It's very affordable.
That's not the favor I'm looking to get.
XFL is very affordable. $100 for a family of four. So go check it out.
Check it out.
This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.